It's good to be back this evening. Linda and I thought maybe we were going to be a little late because of traffic, something that we could not control, and I had to keep reminding myself that no need getting upset or angry, because eventually the traffic was going to move, and thankfully it did. We're also glad that you are here this evening, and knowing that the weather is a little inclement and sometimes makes it a little more difficult to get here. But as announced this morning, we want to talk about something that's important to all of us, and that is God's medicine. We've officially entered the time of the year when folks are more likely to get sick. There's cold weather, wet weather, people going into and out of warm buildings, having been in the cold, and they're more likely to get flu, colds, and various other sicknesses that are more prevalent this time of year. But when people get sick, they suffer. And when they suffer from sickness, more often than not, they require medicine in some form. Turn with me in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. And we read our text this evening, that which was provided to Jeremiah by the Spirit regarding Israel and their condition and what they needed. Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? When there is illness and the medication is required, it needs to be the right medicine or treatment. It must be provided, and it must be properly administered. Then the sickness or illness is made less. Hopefully, health will be restored. We understand that from a physical standpoint, because people invariably do not go to the doctor for the joy of sitting in a waiting room with sick people to be told that the doctor will be right with them, and then to go into the doctor, and the doctor comes in and invariably will say, "Well, now, what is bothering you today?" I always try to throw the doctor off by telling, "Well, you're supposed to be the expert, you tell me." When sickness exists, then it needs to be treated. The same thing is true in a spiritual sense. And since we're gathered here in the house of God, we want to talk about God's medicine. Just as we read in our text, which occurred many, many years ago, and as we see in our own society today, the disobedience of humanity has caused a great deal of suffering. The disobedience of God's people has led to much suffering. And hopefully we realize that this suffering is not necessary. Hopefully we realize also that healing is available. And we are blessed by God to have the medicine from God that will cure us. Oftentimes when we deal with insurance companies, we are told we have to go to an in-plan doctor. We have one of those spiritually. We have a physician, the great physician. He is the only in-plan doctor. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. And we see there that we are directed to the great physician. This specifically was speaking of those who were of Israel, because Jesus came to call them back to repentance. But he provided for us information so we know where to go to receive the spiritual healing that we need. That's what's needed for spiritual health. And when he was speaking to those Jews under the old law, we see what prompted that conversation. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? They could not believe that the doctor was going to the patient. They didn't quite understand that. They thought that the patient should go to the doctor, but they didn't want to recognize that Christ was the physician that they needed. But when Jesus heard that, in verse 12, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That is common knowledge. We don't go to the doctor unless we need to go to the doctor. And then he told them, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those who realized that Jesus Christ was the cure for spiritual sin, that were heeding the call to repent, to come back into a proper covenant relationship with God under that law, to prepare themselves for the kingdom for which Jesus would ultimately die, were those who realized they were sinners and they were coming back to him. Christ is the great physician for man's greatest and deepest sickness. We can see throughout time that man has a problem with spiritual sickness. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and put them there in the garden, they had perfect bodies, they were in fine health, they had everything that they needed, and had they not sinned, well, we don't know how that would have gone, because they did. And that brought sin into the world. But as we read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, even in the face of all the man-made advice available at the time of Paul and at the time now, the condition of humanity is exactly the same. Nothing has changed. We are no different internally and spiritually than were those in the day of Paul when this was written. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All of humanity has a trouble with sin. Sin is evident within our lives. It does present itself in many different ways. But do you ever wonder why that is? It's because man has brought it upon himself. Man continually brings it upon himself. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 makes it clear that mankind has brought spiritual illness upon himself. There are consequences for sin, and sometimes the suffering spiritually that we have in our lives is because of sin that we have committed. Because what sin does, it separates one from God. It separates one from the glory of God. And Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unless the remedy for sin is properly received and properly applied, the outcome is foretold in God's word. We see this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And when we read this passage, we must realize there's an eternal payoff for whichever way we live our lives. It's amazing. You see people who live their lives devoting themselves to proper eating, to proper exercise, and spending a lot of time in gymnasium. Some of them become experts in their particular field. Jack LaLanne was doing push-ups in his 90s. And then one day, he died. Many others who advocate a wholesome lifestyle still will die. And then there is a payoff from a spiritual standpoint. We are allowed to choose whatever we will and whoever we will serve in this life, but there are consequences for those choices. The passage tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can choose God's medicine for sin, or we can reject God's medicine for sin. He's given us that choice, but we have to pay the price. And what Christ, as the great physician, does is properly diagnose our spiritual condition. He knows exactly what medicine is needed, the Word of God, we'll talk about it in a minute, and He brings about through it the spiritual healing that we need. One noted Bible scholar and commentator once said that sin is regarded as a sovereign who demands the military service of its subjects, levies their quota of arms, and gives them their soldiers' pay of death. Quite profound. Surely he's speaking of spiritual death, because we know that the righteous and the unrighteous both die physically. Alone or on his own, none of mankind can be saved from sin. That's because none of us can offer up the sacrifice that was needed to redeem a soul. None but Christ could do this. And he provided that sacrifice. He made it available. Jesus did for mankind what no other could do. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we see the penman directed by the Spirit to write of Christ's departure from heaven to live a perfect and sinless life on earth and willingly die upon Calvary's cross to shed his precious blood. And he did so so that you and I could have access to God's medicine for the soul. Those Hebrews, having once obeyed the gospel but being in danger of being led away by the Judaizing teachers, were told, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." And of course, Christ was given glory for his unselfishness. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to the brethren in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, he reminded them of the price that was paid so that mankind could receive God's medicine. And we also see in this passage and several others that because of God's great love for us, this medicine was made available. Have you ever been sick and you couldn't get access to the medication that you needed? It's a pretty terrible feeling. Paul was directed to write to those Roman brethren and tell them, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The "us" in this passage are those who have gladly accepted the cure that God offers through his Son, and those who have been strengthened to be able to faithfully serve. And the beauty of this is that Jesus is willing to aid all who will come to him. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, after Christ had upbraided the cities where the folks saw his works and refused to repent, he spoke these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we read this, we must think about God's medicine, Christ being not only the great physician, but the one that can provide what we need spiritually. We must think about the medication that he offers, that he's provided. You know, it's not too bitter. Have you ever taken some medicine that it was just almost worse than the sickness to take the medicine? You are told stuff like hold your nose while you drink it, or put a little bit on a sugar, on some sugar or something, so it would be more palatable, or do something that would allow your body to accept and receive it. Spiritual medication is not too bitter, and it's guaranteed to work if properly applied. But what does Jesus prescribe? God's word. God's word is the proper prescription. You know, you go to the doctor and he checks out your symptoms and he looks at the things that are wrong with you and he decides which medication would be best. But here's the wonder of God's plan and what God has provided in a spiritual medication for us, that his word covers all spiritual ills. From John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we know that there were some Jews that believed on him. Oftentimes when we think about the Jews, we think about those who rejected him, those who would not follow him, those who thought, well, surely this cannot be the Messiah because no great thing will ever come out of Nazareth. But there were those who believed in him. There were those who followed him. There were those who listened to him and applied the medication and prepared themselves to receive it when it did arrive. He gave them some sound advice. He gave them God's prescription for good spiritual health. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We cannot know the truth unless we continue in his word. Therefore, if we do not continue in his word, we cannot be his disciples. And in addition to that, there is no doubt whatsoever that this prescription, which was for them, will work equally well today. Sometimes we go to our medicine cabinet, and because our situation cleared itself up or the medication worked so well, the doctor got it so right that it only took half of the prescription, and we go back into the medicine cabinet later on and we look at the pills and we look at the dates and we say, oh, this stuff is way old. And we begin to flush it down the toilet or whatever we do with it to get rid of it. There's no expiration date on God's prescription. In John chapter 17, in verse 17, we see what would cure them and what will still provide the remedy for all spiritual ills today. As Jesus spoke in his prayer, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." It is that which would separate them from those who were ill, those who were sick, those who were stained with sin. Now the question comes, why would a person knowingly refuse a cure for what ails him spiritually? Rare is the situation in which one would say, I'm just not going to take that medicine. I know that it will do me good, but I'm not going to take it. I suspect, depending on the situation, that could be the case. But when a person has a spiritual ill, why would they knowingly refuse a cure? It has to be ignorance. You know, God's word is able to help in such a case. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us we have all the spiritual medication we need to live life as he would have us live life, and that we might be able to prepare ourselves to spend eternity with him. When we read about heaven, there will be nothing there that is broken or maimed or damaged or anything like that, because all of the souls that will be there have been treated with God's word. In this New Testament age, we have everything that we need. There in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." We have access to that which will keep our souls healthy. And you say, but how come my soul's not healthy? Notice the rest of the passage. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When you read that passage and you apply it that way, you simply think of a person who calls the doctor and says, I'm not getting any better, doctor. What do I do? And the doctor says, have you taken the medicine? He says, no, it's still in the cabinet. What good will it do if it's not applied? And Jesus is willing to give this prescription to everyone who needs it. We know, as you turn to John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And because of his travels, he had to travel through a place in which a person who was not completely a Jew, there was some semblance of Judaism there, because these people had intermarried with other people and were no longer Jews. He was speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And there he alluded to the time in which the remedy for sin was to be available to all who desired it. Of course, with all medications, the spiritual remedy has to be taken, and it has to be taken properly to produce the desired results. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A couple of things need to be pointed out here. First and foremost, they have to be willing to partake of that truth that God has placed in his word and given to us so that it is readily accessible to us. Notice also that the ETH on the word drink. It is an ongoing and continual situation. We must continue to drink water, the water of life. And God's word is that water of life. In the physical realm, if one is prescribed a medication, he can't just take one pill. He can't just go to one treatment and expect it to be presto bingo, I'm healed. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way spiritually either. Now let us go to Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 through 19. We see that we can't change this prescription. It has to be in accordance to the great physician's directions. God has provided us his word, and it's not to be altered. It's not to be changed. Even in the old law, he told Joshua not to go to the right or to the left, not to add to, not to take away. We'll see the same thing is true here. And when we change the prescription, it results in a terrible consequence. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Jesus is the physician. God's word is the proper prescription, but obedience begins the road to spiritual recovery. It's very simple. It's no different than in our physical relationship with our doctor. He prescribes us a medication. If the medication is the right medication, we must take it in order to recover. Again, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we see who Jesus is. Those Hebrews, those Christians who were in danger of losing their soul if they went back under that old law, were told about Christ, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That doesn't mean just acknowledging that he is. I mean, James tells us the devils believe and tremble. We must obey him. We must partake of the medication in accordance with the directions. You know, having the best doctor and the best medicine will only benefit if we abide by the orders of the treatment. And there is no substitute for obedience. Again, we turn to Revelation, this time to the first part, to Revelation chapter 3. And we know that the seven churches were addressed because of the soon-to-occur problems and persecutions and tribulations that were heaped upon the church during the time of the uprising and the fall of Jerusalem. But we see something in this letter to the church at Laodicea, that there was no substitute and there is no substitute for obedience. Partial obedience is not obedience. And he makes it apparent in this letter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What a sad, sad condition they had allowed themselves to come into spiritually. They had allowed themselves to become lukewarm. They had lost the fervor of serving God and doing his will. And notice that their attitude had changed. Look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased with goods, they were focusing upon the material things of life. And as a result, they said, I have need of nothing. You know, it's amazing. You can't look at someone and tell what's going on inside them, can you? There may be people that are sick physically, that have a problem that we cannot even recognize because it's not manifested itself yet, but it's still there. These people thought because they had goods, they increased with goods, they had need of nothing. But notice what he pointed out to them. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were not clothed with the armor of God. They could not see their spiritual condition. They had no idea that they were headed for an eternity separated from God. The prescription is given. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment where thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And verse 19 tells us why the great physician provides this prescription. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. When we read the Word of God and we see something in our lives that is contrary to it, we are being chastised. And it's because He loves us. He says then, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, it's amazing that all of those congregations, every one of them, it was said to them, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, make sure that obedience is a part of our lives. It is important to know that the church has been taught from its very beginning that obedience is what is needed. In Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, as the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those brethren, he told them to whom we go, to whom we put our allegiance, that is, who we will serve. He asked them a series of questions, important questions, because it had to do with whether or not they were being obedient. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. It is important that we realize in reading this that we have a choice as to whom we will serve. Nobody's making us serve God. Nobody's making us go to the great physician. No one's requiring us to look into God's word to see how to live our lives. But if we choose, we may. We may also choose to obey that which will bring about our demise. He says, relative to those to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death. If we don't receive the right prescription, if we don't partake of God's medicine, we will die spiritually. He says, or of obedience unto righteousness. These people at one time were serving self or were serving Satan. And what does he say in verse 17? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Picture it in your mind. The weakened soul, damaged by sin, goes to the great physician through the word, receives the proper prescription, partakes of it as directed, and is now made free from sin. That's what verse 18 says. Then being made free from sin, or being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We have to choose whom we will serve. We have to choose whether or not we'll take God's medicine. We have to choose whether or not we are going to be healed spiritually. James chapter 1 and verse 22 gives us a little insight to this. There's so many passages that could be looked into, could be examined relative to this. But as James was writing to those strangers which were scattered abroad, he said to them, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, you need to stop this. You've got to stop this in order to bring about your health. And you say, yes, I hear you. And then you go right out the door and continue to do against what he said. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work spiritually either. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What does he say next? Deceiving your own selves. We cannot trick ourselves into becoming well. And then he explains to them how they are, if indeed they are hearers only and not doers. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And we all do it. I'll guarantee you, every one of us look in a mirror and see what we look like. I mean, it's not like we don't remember, or there are not pictures in the house, but we look, and those of us who have hair comb it. We prepare ourselves to go out and to intermingle with other people. But notice what happens. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. that has to be talking about the internal part of man. And then we see what happens to those who look into God's word. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, ongoing. Keep reading. Keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. Keep doing what God said. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Friends, that's the prescription. That's the direction given by the physician so that we can be healed. That's God's medicine. And we need it. And here's a wonderful thing about God's medicine. It doesn't apply to anything else in this world. It doesn't apply to any medication you can get from your doctor. I know doctors sometimes are, what's the fellow's name on TV? Elmer. I guarantee you this will work. I know some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy and say, well, who's Elmer? I'll tell you about it after services. I'll guarantee you this will work. There is no guarantee that any medication that man gives you will work. But God's medicine, the cure rate is 100% when applied correctly. Can anyone claim this of man's doctrine? That will it cure man's spiritual condition? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, we see what the Apostle Paul was directed to write relative to God's medicine. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. God's gospel plan was offered to the Jews first, and then to the Greek, which would include all of humanity. And then, in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Sometimes people read this and they say, the just shall live by faith, so I'm going to live as how I believe. Well, where does faith come from? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What have we been talking about? God's medicine. What is that? It's the word of God. And we must go and look into the word of God. And we must continue to be obedient to it. You know, the world is full of religious people that claim that they are taking God's proper prescription. But what does 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 say about that? And note, when we're looking at that, it applies to those who are children of God as well as those who are not children of God and claim to be. The beloved apostle was directed to write, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Did you take the medicine? Yes, I took the medicine. Then why are you still sick? Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. There's that ETH again. Ongoing, continual action. We have access to what God has provided us. Spiritual medicine that we might keep our soul in the proper condition, in a proper relationship with God. A healthy soul, if you will, that one day can spend eternity with him. Mankind suffers with the sickness of sin, but there is the great physician, there is a proper prescription, and there is a road to recovery. And the beauty of this is that all are welcomed to be healed. The proper steps have to be taken and followed. Sometimes people do not know what these things are. But if you're desirous of knowing what God's medicine is for your soul, know that first and foremost, you must hear the word of God. We alluded to it just a few moments ago. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe. One cannot become a child of God. You know, Philip and the eunuch were on the road, and Philip had preached unto him Jesus. He wanted to be baptized. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, we see what he had to believe. Philip said unto him, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So one must hear the word of God. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And one must repent, as Jesus said in Luke 13, 3 and 5. "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And one must confess. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know why they will do that? Because they've heard, because they believe, because they have repented of their sins, and they want to be baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do. But perhaps he hadn't received all of the instructions yet. And Ananias came to him. And what did he say? "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Of course, following this, one must remain faithful unto death. I look at remain faithful unto death like continuing to take the prescription until it runs out. You ever thought about it that way? You got to take it to the end. What did he say in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." It's available. In fact, there's another step, but this step only applies to those who have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, but for whatever reason have not remained faithful. Those are the ones who have stopped taking God's medicine. They've allowed sin to enter into their lives, and they're sick because they're separated from God. But they can be reunited to God through obedience. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." I just have a couple questions for you this evening. How are you feeling? No, spiritually. We all have different pains and discomforts. We're all getting older. But how do you feel spiritually? What a better question is, how are you spiritually? Because if you need spiritual healing, God has provided what you need. The instructions are clear. All that's left is for you as the patient to take God's medicine. Are you subject to the invitation this evening? If you are, we're going to stand and sing the selected hymn. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. Please, don't leave here spiritually sick this evening. Let us stand and let us sing.